Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Welcome to this episode of The Crucible. I am Kabelo Ratube, and I will be your host for today's episode. In this one, we will be highlighting the official relaunch of the SIMM Diversity and Inclusion Committee. This relaunch is a renewed commitment to champion diversity, empower industry, and foster collaboration within the Southern African mining and metallurgy sector. Today, you're going to meet the people behind the committee. They are a collective of professionals from across the industry, brought together by their shared passion for creating spaces where everyone can belong, contribute, and thrive. So in this episode, we'll explore what diversity and inclusion mean to them personally, how these values show up in their work, and what this reimagined committee hopes to achieve. I welcome you all to The Crucible. So we're going to begin today. I normally introduce the guests, but on today's episode, there's four committee members. I'm the fifth one, but today I'm going to be the one asking the questions to the committee members. I would like that we begin with all of you introducing yourselves, and we can maybe start by having your names and the current role that you hold in the committee or in your professional life. And I would like to hear also a little bit about your background in the industry. Zohra, would you like to start?
Thank you. I'm Zohra Fakhrai, a mining engineer with 25 years experience. I started my journey with being one of the first graduated female mining engineer after 20 years of revolution in my home country, Iran. Then after 10 years, I moved to South Africa. So I worked in mining industry in two different cultures. And my journey showed me the challenges and the opportunities which a woman can face in this industry. So that encouraged me to join this committee to try to shift the narrative and help to change the industry toward to more diverse and inclusive industry.
That's great to hear. And what role do you play in the committee?
I'm chairperson of the committee.
All right. Thank you very much, Zohra. And we can move over to Mark.
Hello. Yes, Mark Monroe, vice chairman of the Diversity Committee, also mining engineer, experience from miner upwards. I joined the industry as a miner, worked myself to become chief executive of various mining companies over my career. The value I see in playing a big role in this committee and pushing diversity in our industry and in society in general is basically, I've seen when it goes wrong. I mean, people don't pay attention to ensuring there's a diverse, peaceful, harmonious society. When it goes wrong, it goes badly wrong, and people get polarized, and it just doesn't work out well. So I believe we should pay attention to diversity and look for the value in it. We shouldn't be doing this because we must diversify and get others involved. We should recognize that by bringing in different types of human beings to all play a role in society and in our industry, we actually make it stronger because we get different ideas, different skill sets, and we'll bring out this true strength of the South African mining industry as we drive this agenda.
And can we hear from Salma? Could you introduce yourself to us, please?
I'm wondering after Mark and Zohra what I'm going to say about myself. Salma Matsego. I currently oversee management systems and contractor management at Implats Group. My history in mining started at Lonmin, so I'm a proud Lonminite. That's where my mining journey began. So I was lucky to work under this guy, Mark Munro. And yes, so he has always been an advocate for change and like putting women forward and just helping us become the best that we are. So I've worked across various industries. I've honestly been to SARS. I've worked at the SAPS. I've worked at the bank. So I've got a vast experience in different fields. But my passion has always been management systems, because to me, it's like the K53 of doing business. You know, you kind of like set the rules, you reinvent them and so on. I eventually started specializing in contractor management, which I love. The space that I'm in right now is quite complex, and there's always room for innovation and change. And as a woman, it's one of those spaces where you get to reinvent yourself every day, and you get to influence, you know, the majority of people, like, and from different levels within organizations. So this committee not only allows me to have a voice, but I think it's going to allow us to make a change and, you know, not just speak about it, but actually be actively involved in that change. So it's quite exciting and I look forward to it. And what do I do in the committee? I'm a member. I sit there and, yes, execute.
And Maria, a little bit about you too.
Hi, my name is Maria Komrink. I like pina coladas and a walk in the rain. No, I'm joking. I've been involved in the mining industry for close on to 25 years now. I started my journey in data management. Then I went back to university at a bit of a later age to study again and do my BSc. And then that just went from there. And I was a production geologist for quite the time. I always joke and say my first office was 2.3 kilometers underground. And I just loved it. The industry chose me. I didn't actively choose the industry, but I'm very glad that it did choose me. So currently I work for Ma'aden Barrick Copper Corporation in Saudi Arabia, where I do the geoscientific data management, the systems, the governance, the analysis and the compliance to make sure that data is auditable, transparent, and there's a single source of truth. And why I say this is, it ties in with why I am part of the diversity committee with SIIMM, because transparency and honest dialogue and auditability lies at the heart of why we have to look at diversity and inclusion. As to what I do on the committee, I am the member that's always traveling and never at all of the meetings, but yes, I'm just a practicing member and hoping to serve where I can when it is possible and schedules align to allow me to do this.
Thank you, Maria. And now would Anna like to introduce herself?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anna Khaswani, and I'm the Group Head Environmental at Implats. And I have been working in the mining industry for over two decades now. Just to indicate, I have only worked for one company, and everyone has been asking me, Anna, why has this place made you insane? And what I can actually say is, when I started my journey within Implats as the mining industry, I started as a metallurgist. So from being a metallurgist, going up the ranks to operations manager within the smelting operations. And then there was a period of about 6-7 years that I had moved on, and I was actually implementing projects within the communities where we are operating. So for me, is from operations to, you know, being involved with the communities where our operations are, and currently now dealing with managing the impacts that might be brought about by our operations. So for me, it feels like I've worked for seven different companies in the last two decades or so. And currently I am an ordinary member within the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. I'm looking forward to making sure that we raise awareness in terms of diversity and inclusion issues, not just for the companies that we're working within, but also you know, the industry at large, and also including institutions of higher learning.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you all for making the time to come today so we can have this interesting conversation. I'm also part of the committee, and I'm quite excited about this relaunch. And I think it's important that we maybe start by grounding ourselves in the why. Why are we relaunching the committee, and why does it exist? So I would maybe like, perhaps we could start with what Salma would like to say about this. When you hear the words diversity and inclusion, what do they mean to you personally, and what, or maybe what they mean to you professionally?
So to me, diversity and inclusion mean dignity, it's equity, and it's safety. So usually we refer to safety only as physical safety, but psychological and emotional safety are also important. So in the mining sector, we talk a lot about safety, like how do we keep our employees safe, but how do we include them while we're keeping them safe, you know? And we don't talk about how unsafe they feel. We don't talk about how unsafe they feel, how marginalized they feel, how stereotyped they feel, or how silenced they feel. So to me, diversity and inclusion as a woman, it's how we embrace our roles within the organization, whether it be religion, color, ability or inability, or seniority, or what in whatever form. But it's about how we include that person, how we stop making inclusion a blind spot, and how we create spaces to address those uncomfortable conversations that usually turn the victim into the culprit.
All right, thank you. Maria, you talked about the role that you have professionally and how it's tied a lot to transparency. What, in your view, does diversity and inclusion mean, especially in the professional role that you find yourself in?
It's very easy to other people to say they don't share this commonality with me, or they don't share that commonality with me. And then by allowing yourself to think of people in terms of othering allows you to then step away and have less empathy and less understanding. And it also allows you to kind of say, well, ignorance is bliss. And for me personally, inclusion and diversity in any situation would be where we allow to have spaces where we can discuss in honest, transparent dialogue what makes us different, but also what makes us the same. And to create those spaces, it's such an imperative thing to do, not only within in the mining industry, but within our own lives as well. So for me, it is imperative to really say, okay, this is what we bring to the table by having all of these different backgrounds. And it's easy to pick on the, shall we call it, the lower hanging fruits of diversity, to say gender and race. And then it's quite easy to forget about other things like visible physical disabilities, and also appointing people that just come from the same school as you did, or disregarding people with a lot of experience and saying, oh, well, you're over 50, I'm not going to employ you. I'd rather go for the younger guy, and they'll probably bring me some innovation, when you then disregard years of good knowledge within the system. So for me, definitely, when I think of diversity and inclusion, it's, you know, people always say having a space at the table, but for me, it's creating that table and placing it where everyone has a space to truly be authentically themselves. Because by only being authentically yourself, will you bring greater insight, and isn't it wonderful that we can then start to really know the people that we work with on a different level, really learn from them, and then learning from ourselves through them. So diversity and inclusion for me is, I think, so important, because it allows us to learn from each other and make the industry so much better.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. I think what stands out for me in what you're saying is that true diversity and inclusion is about creating that table so that everybody comes in their different strengths and in order to build this inclusive mining and metallurgy industry that we're trying to create. And I guess then that moves us into the question of vision, because I really do believe that that's central to what it's trying to create. It's trying to create this table where different players in the field are coming together in order to ensure that they maximize on the diversity that is present in the space. And so I'm going to ask you, Zore, when we talk about vision, what is it about this reimagined diversity and inclusion committee that perhaps excites you, that's different from how it was previously done?
So what really excited me about this committee is the people, is that the colleagues which I work with, is the diverse group which we form this committee, and the learning curve for me, I learn every day from each of members, and this is very exciting for me. And also what we want to do is we want to bring action instead of talking. We want to take diversity and inclusion to the other level instead of just putting a tick in a boxes. And we should remember diversity. If we just do the talk about the diversity and inclusion and just try to look at it as like a program, we have to just fulfill and just do it. It doesn't work. We should believe in it, and we should embrace the diversity and inclusion, and that's what we want to try to do. We want to start collaboration with our stakeholders to try to make our industry more diverse and inclusive.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Zore. And Mark, what do you think we can bring to the industry that perhaps hasn't been given much attention before?
I think you used important words, vision and then the playing field. And if I bring them together, what this committee, I think, can bring to industry and to society in general is painting a picture of that vision. Because often we look at diversity and inclusion as, no, we need to fix the current problems of society. Then we focus on the negative and gain about solving those problems. And yes, sure, we have to do that. But I think it's much more progressive and positive if we create this vision 10, 15, 20 years from now. What kind of industry do we want for ourselves? And when we visualize that, where everyone is, all people are working to their max, their full potential at all the times, and we've taken out all the blocks that are blocking people from achieving their full potential as individuals and therefore as teams, as companies, and as industry. So I like to think that this committee should be focused on creating that vision of the future where it's everyone from diverse backgrounds are working together to create wealth for the country. Hey? And that's profit. I mean, that's what we're here for. And then you spoke about the field. Now, I think currently where we're sitting, our teams are running on the field, be it that's the human population. We're running on the field, and different players are not allowed to achieve their full potential. They're hindered in some way. Now, that's just silly. If you're running on the field with your team, surely you as a leader should focus on ensuring that all your team are achieving their full potential in life. Eh? So therefore, I think our committee needs to focus on how do we get everyone in the South African mining industry working at their full potential, and we then can harness their diverse backgrounds, their diverse skill sets, their knowledge, everything to win the game and create a future where the South African mining industry contributes to society in general. And I think that's why I joined this committee, to achieve that vision I have for the South African mining industry. And yes, if we don't do it, no one is going to do it. So it's a very active and positive role that we need to play in society and industry.
Mm-hmm. While we're on what the positive roles that we're supposed to play in society, there's, what shall I say, one of the statements that the committee makes in terms of silence being compliance. And perhaps a lot of societal issues are perpetuated by silence, perhaps. And so What does then the committee encourage stakeholders in this industry, in the mining industry, to do to challenge this bias in the sector? That perhaps some people feel that they are silenced, they are excluded in the industry, but that nobody's speaking up about it. And so I'm interested to know your views in terms of what do you encourage then the stakeholders in the industry to do about this?
No, definitely. If I speak about you want to achieve this vision, well, if you're silent and you do nothing, then nothing's going to happen and the current state will perpetuate. In fact, it'll just get worse. Eh? You'll get polarization of society and then you get radicalization and then it turns out to be quite an aggressive environment. So if you do nothing, it's not going to be good for anyone. So you have to actively break down the walls and the barriers that you see in front of you and actively push people together to engage and see the value in the other person. Eh? So I think that's a famous quote that, you know, the value that people can bring to society nowadays is don't speak about these things, get up and do something. So exactly, this committee gets up and does something. And that means when we see things are wrong, we have to point it out and embarrass people and societies and companies where we see that happening. And when we see it right, we need to reward it, reinforce it, and push it forward. And if you're silent, you can't do any of that. Eh? So I believe, you know, if you want to achieve anything in life, do something about it. Get off your seat and push it forward. And yes, you have to fix the systems and go through that and administrative process and fix the mechanisms in society. But also, I think a big part of it is just pointing out where it's not working right and then actively changing it to the way it should be. To just achieve this vision you have for the future.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And now I'm going to bring Anna back into the conversation. And you mentioned that you've been in the same company, but you've been playing different roles in the company. And I'm pretty sure you might have come in contact with perhaps inclusion of some sort, maybe not you, but in the different roles that you see. I'm curious to know, in your current day-to-day role or the roles that you've played in the past, how do you think that these values in terms of inclusion and amplifying underrepresented voices, how do you see that playing out in your role or in the roles that you've played in the past?
Thanks for the question. For me, it is always important to make sure that there's always participation. And participation, be it in the role, is raising your voice. And if you raise your voice, with that brings the element of, you know, providing influence. And by providing that influence at the end, one would actually feel and one would actually acknowledge being part of whatever solution that needs to be put on the table. That would then provide, if I can say, progress in identifying and in, you know, solving these issues that's relating to diversity and inclusion. So being in different departments, yes, I have witnessed areas where, you know, one needs to, if I can say, maybe change the perspective of other people where they need to actually acknowledge that one can actually, or different people of different backgrounds can actually bring, you know, value to the table. And thus, one has to be able to make sure that there's creating a space for allowing people to be authentic about the issues and addressing them at hand.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Anna. And Salma, what are the different stakeholders in the sector? What can they expect from this committee, would you say?
I don't think we are a committee of kind gestures here. We are action, eh? So we're going to do what we say and say what we do. We are intentional as well. We're intentional about what we stand for. And I think what I've found in this committee is I've also found a voice. So it's easier for me to not want to be popular and actually just raise issues, address them professionally, but address them, you know, and not worry about being sidelined or being labeled. So I think this committee is going to give different people a voice, and that voice is going to be so strong. And it's just going to be beautiful. We're going to make such a beautiful change to not just the mining and metals industry, but I think to society at large. We're going to show the little ones, the young ones in university, what's possible. And hopefully they take this baton and they just run with it and they just go forward and do amazing things. So you can expect great things from us because we are capable of doing wonderful things.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Salma. We're slightly running out of time, but I'm curious to know from all of you, and perhaps we'll start with Zore, and I'd like to know, what is one action or shift that you'd really love to see in the mining industry when it comes to issues of diversity and inclusion?
If I want to be very quick on that, I would say I would like to see like inclusive leadership. Mining industry always defined as like tough industry. Maybe we should include more empathy or vulnerability in our leadership and have like leader just not only look different, but they lead differently, more inclusively. And also I would like to see more flexible work policies, especially you see after COVID, the life-work balance become kind of maybe luxury, or maybe by like having more flexible work policies, we can have better lifestyle for people involved in mining industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And same question for you, Maria. What is that one conversation, action, or shift you'd love to see in the industry?
I think it's difficult to sum it up in just a single action that I would like to see. But I think at the heart of it, the one thing that I would love to see is that that same with, as Zora said, the leadership. But for leadership to realize that policies and procedures are there for a reason. However, you cannot blanket manage people with a single policy. There are definitely some exclusions or inclusions to be made, and I would love for people to actually take the time and manage people and meet them where they're at, and to see that by doing this, it doesn't make you a weak leader or a leader that's not perpetuating the stereotypical strong leadership characteristics. And in actual fact, that by making space for other people to show up as themselves, you are actually a better leader. And people would want to follow you without showing a rod to make them follow you. And I would love to be able and part of a shift in the industry to, when you say silence is compliance, to make sure that I would call it a reporting silence, because people do the tick box and they report, this is our diversity. And I think that's a corporate silence, which is not really being handled well at this point. And it's an overpowering silence. So I would love to see that the inclusive leadership also boils down to somebody saying, oh, we're not just doing this for our compliance and our governance. We're doing this because we truly believe that this will make our company better. We truly believe that this will make our teams better. And we truly believe that this would make us as individuals better. I know that's a lot to ask, because this requires people to really sit down with themselves and also ask the difficult questions of themselves. But I think if we have the ability to ask those questions of ourselves first, it becomes easier to allow people to then ask you the difficult questions as well. So yes, that's what my aim would be.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maria. What about you, Anna? What's the action or shift you'd like to see happen in the industry?
For me, what I would like to see happening in the industry is having more of a concerted effort in terms of addressing issues that pertains to diversity and inclusion. For me, I would like to see more of coordinated effort where maybe partnerships can also be explored, also collaborate with other relevant stakeholders. Because yes, at the mining industry, we might be looking forward to this diversity and inclusion, where we know that if we are diverse and if we are inclusive, that would be able to drive the bottom line. But at the end of the day, for me, making sure that all other relevant stakeholders are brought to the table, as an example, higher institutions of learning. That's all that I would like to see from a leadership point of view happening as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Anna. And Mark, I'll take the question back to you. What would you like to see?
Yeah, Kabela, thank you. I think just to pick up but what Maria said there, you know, I would like to see leaders making decisions to create long-term sustainable value for their companies and society and the industry as well. And this long-term sustainable value must be a place where we are not driving diversity for compliance reasons. That is just wrong. And it's necessary now. It's necessary now because we don't have that long-term value thinking. But I would like to see them driving diversity for the sake of this long-term value. Now, practically, I mean, I've been fortunate to be part of teams or worked with Selma and Anna, both wonderful, smart, intelligent women. Now, none of them were put on the teams that they're currently in because of compliance. They were put on their teams because they bring a different perspective, a perspective that is much more advanced and better than mine in certain areas. And when we put these brains and skills together, we cover all the areas. We cover more areas than if it's just one-dimensional thinking from a middle-aged white male. Hey? So by having diverse teams, you actually get stronger teams and you create more value. So I think you need to have people saying, I want to join up with Anna or Selma because they just make my team stronger and better. And because I believe I'm a good business person and a good leader, I will pick teams and create teams that have divergent thinking, diverse thinking, different ideas, and sometimes internal conflict where we discuss and disagree, but we get to a good place where we actually create a lot more value for society and for our companies that we work for. Just when Anna was speaking, I was thinking back to times when Anna was in my office and she actually used the words, no, Mark, it's not like that. It's like this. And many times she'd point out blind spots to me where we need to do things in a different way. And I think we achieved great things with, you know, shaft rehabilitation and saving the odd L and things like that. Because of that difference in the way we look at life and the way we solve problems. So that is what I'd like to see going forward. And that's what I think this committee must achieve. Leaders that drive this to create more value for society. And then you won't need committees like this.
Absolutely. And what about you, Selma? Could you close that off for us and tell us the shift that you would like to see?
I think for me, it's treating diversity and inclusion the same with the same urgency as we do our production targets and safety. It should be important. It shouldn't be an afterthought. And like Mark and them said, it shouldn't be a tick box. I think the minute you care about something and you care about the difference that it makes and the impact that it has, then it becomes at the forefront of what you do. So let's stop talking about it when we need to do our KPIs or when it's Women's Month or when we look at our disabled communities and things like that, when we have to recognize certain religions. Let it be everyday conversations and let it be comfortable conversations as well. Let's not make it seem bigger than it is. Let's not overthink it, like I always say. I think our leadership needs to start embracing this idea. They need to start embracing it not just as a thought process, but as something that's embedded in what they do and in what makes them the next type of leader.
And then I would like to say to all leaders in the industry, if you are listening to this podcast and you want to become a better leader, please feel free to reach out to any of us, and we will definitely help you where we can.
Yes. And any parting words from any of you before we close off?
Kabelo, you are part of this committee. What do you think about the final question? What do you want to see?
Yes. A lot of my research or my PhD research that I'm working on right now is on social responsibility in the mining industry. So I'm looking at how corporate sustainability should be ingrained in the very fabric of the mining industry. And for me, it's exactly what most of you said. It's about shifting from a tick box exercise and really building long-term relationships with communities that are most impacted by mining operations, and really seeing them as co-creators of the value that the industry is trying to create. And so that's the shift that I would like to see. That brings us to the end of today's conversation. Thank you all for listening to this episode of The Crucible. Remember to rate the podcast and share it with your network. See you on the next one. Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SIAM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.